Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you for listening to Power of Love, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation. I am TJ Jackson, and I'm here with my brother, Terrell Jackson.
Hey, everyone.
Taj Jackson is on his way. He's a minute away, 2 minutes away. The traffic's really bad for us here in LA.
He lives down the street from me, but...
Exactly. No real excuse. He'll be here any minute. But we also have a special guest, Mr. Evan Singletary.
Hello, everybody.
Ooh, nice. Evan's got a little nice little shock with that
voice. He's on the mic, too.
So, you know, I've known Evan for almost a decade now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I coached Evan as a youngster. He was my very first pick on my... Do you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that? Evan was my first pick on the basketball team. You know how you draft, Terrell.
Yeah.
Evan was my first pick when I was coaching Royal. I think Royal was maybe 5, 6, and you were maybe 8. You were a couple years, because Royal was supposed to be level lower.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Evan was my first pick. Evan and I and my family, our families have been close since. And you may also know, for you Dede Jackson Foundation followers, Evan's been the one who's also been very helpful for us with our Boys and Girls Music Therapy program. He's a college student now, and I'm proud to say he's doing his thing and giving back and handling business. So it's great to have Evan with us. He's going to be a co-host today. He's going to share some experiences, but he's mainly here to represent the youth. Every now and then, we like to give the youth a voice. We've done that with Royal. We've done that with Prince. And now we're doing it with Mr. Evan. But we are here live on Power of Love. If you have any questions about the topic that we are going to discuss, feel free to call us. The number is 323-203-0815. Or you could tweet us. It's DDJ Foundation. At DDJ Foundation. And we're going to give our disclaimer real quick. We are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it. And we've learned from it. So we like to share what we've learned and what we've experienced with you. If you need professional help, we strongly urge you to seek it and find it. Don't just rely on us. Now, I'm not going to go into the plugs. We'll do that later. But Terrell, how was your week, man?
My week was good. Real quick, Taj just showed up.
Good.
The show can start now.
Do the social
show officially started.
Twitter.
Huh? He already did it.
I didn't do the social media, but we don't need...
Well, we got to get the tweets in.
Oh, I did Twitter, DDJ Foundation.
Oh, I was too busy.
Got here, and now. I'm still paying attention.
I was too busy watching Taj trying to be super quiet.
How was your week?
We finally won a game.
Well, congratulations.
Finally. My team started to hit, which was great, because I think we have one of the best hitting teams in the league.
Good.
But they finally started to hit. I'm realizing that takes a lot of time.
Yeah,
but it's so much fun. I love being with the kids. It's a great time for me.
Yeah,
and of course, growing up playing baseball myself, one of the things I remember is mom in the stands, and pops teaching us.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, the kids will remember that when they get older. That I
They'll remember.
So are you Coach Terrell or Coach Jackson? What do they call you?
I think I'm just Coach.
Really?
Yeah, they don't call me anything. Just Coach. I don't care either way. They call me Coach.
Taj, you need a minute to set in. Are you ready?
No,
I'm a professional. I was ready when I walked through that door.
How was your week?
Actually, my week was good. I saw the remake of Beauty and the Beast, which was...
What did you think?
I was actually very impressed. I went in there kind of because I really liked the original.
Mm-hmm.
And I went...
The animated one.
Yeah, the animated one. And I went in there kind of expecting the worst. Yeah,
skeptical.
Yeah, skeptical, and I actually was very pleasantly surprised.
Cool.
Really?
Yeah, great acting.
Did you like it better than the original?
No, because the original's the original, you know, but...
Is the animated one the original?
In terms of for Disney, yes, yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, it was done as well as it could be done. Like, I wouldn't be ashamed of that at all. I was very proud of it.
Good.
So you liked it.
It was good.
I give
My
it
girls
a,
You saw it too?
I give it a big
I
thumbs
saw
up.
It.
If I was a good. Kid you win. And first you saw this,
no,
this would be great.
I actually didn't fall asleep, but just because I don't fall asleep mentally, I sometimes don't pay attention. Yeah. So it's hard for me to really. But I liked it. Yeah. I enjoyed it. And the girls enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
So
well, that's what I'm saying. If you were a kid and this is the first time seeing it, this is a good representation good. Of Beauty and the Beast.
All right. Dang, you got a Beauty and the Beast out. Nod from Mr. Todd Jackson. Yes. Evan, how was your week?
My week was amazing. We're on spring break right now, so it's nice to kind of get away from the academics and just deal with life.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's your body? Because Evan is a track. He's a an athlete at his school. Can I say your school?
Of course.
Evan goes to UCI, which is a beautiful school, which is UC Irvine, and he's a runner. He runs track for them. How's your body holding up?
We're doing pretty good. My body and I are doing pretty good. We're in the middle of our season right now. So right now it's just about keeping our body intact and being able to perform at the meets on the weekends.
Okay, cool.
So
I got a question
along.
For you, Evan.
Of course.
What got you into track? Because people like Taj, just the thought of running, and for a lot of people, it's just why?
Right. Well, as TJ mentioned, I played basketball first. Basketball was my first love. When I got into high school, I did track just because my older brother did it. And I happened to be good at it. Happened to be better at track than at basketball. So when it came down to deciding where I'm going to go to college and how it's going to get taken care of, had to pick one. And track just happened to be that.
Nice.
So stuck with it.
And there's a lot of things that you didn't know, I'm assuming, going into it.
You didn't start till like high school, right?
Yeah, I started freshman year of high school, and there was a lot that I didn't know and still don't know.
Form, stretching.
Form, all of that. Oh my gosh, stretching is the most important thing in track and athletics. I've learned since being in track, that's the most important aspect of it, just to keep from being injured.
Really?
Just being out.
So this is more of a parenting question. Every now and then I have to ask this. You're 19?
Yes.
Okay. So you grew up, obviously, not incredibly wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And you grew up with a bunch of knuckleheads
mm-hmm.
at school.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to give it to you. You've always been a straight, good kid.
Thank you.
Focused, respectful. What's the secret? What was it for you that made you not turn into a knucklehead?
My father.
He was hard?
Definitely. I mean, not hard, but my father's really big on respect and getting done what you need to get done.
Mm-hmm.
He's always said, I'm going to give you the tools in life that you need to succeed. It's up to you to do what I told you to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be there to tell you, hey, you need to go brush your teeth. Hey, you need to, when you get in college and things like that. I'm not going to be there to do that. So it's up to you to basically do what you need to get done.
Right.
And especially when I got into college, it was up to me. And when you get into college, you really grow up.
You
grow up fast.
Yeah.
So pretty much my father, like I said, he gave me the tools and I just got to use them now.
That's cool, man. That's cool.
Real quick, yeah. One of my favorite things about Evan, because I would go see Royal play mm-hmm. and I've been around Evan, obviously. But I loved, because as you got older, Evan, there was a year where Royal was playing basketball. You were helping out a lot with coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing every time I think of Evan, I think about this thing. He always had a whistle around his neck.
Yeah.
And I asked him one day, why do you always have this whistle? Tell him why you have the whistle.
And he was young. He was 10, 11, yeah. 12.
I always had the whistle because, that was also my voice. I mean, I was a very small person. So having the whistle was my voice. And then also, I've always had this fascinating interest in referees. And I'm a part-time referee now, and obviously I want to do that professionally, but I've always been the type of player to look at referees. I never really cared about what players are doing.
That's incredible. So imagine watching football or basketball or baseball and watching from a young age what the game callers and the deciders and the refs are doing.
Yep.
That was you.
You realize they hold all the power.
Yes.
That's basically what it was.
That's cool.
You're like, these people.
Well, okay. So we have we don't have a specific topic. We have a bunch of stuff we're going to talk about. And the first thing we want to say is a big shout out and respect to Chuck Berry, who passed away this past week, a legend for me, one who got me into playing the guitar. If you follow 3T, we have a song called Maybelline that was on the Lost album that was kind of an ode to Chuck Berry. Chuck Berry's Maybelline. Completely different song, but that was the first time I heard that name, and I just thought he was cool, so that was cool. But Todd, we have a phone call to make soon, right? But we still have time?
We still have time.
Okay, that's another little surprise we're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. So one thing I'm going to ask you, Evan, how do kids, in your opinion, how would they deal with a loss? And I say kids, I mean teenagers, your generation, the social media generation, the ones who are, you know, we're different ages. I think you're senior by like a good 20 years. Even though I like to say a good 10 years. What is your generation like in terms of loss?
Well, unfortunately, I see a lot of our generation kind of acting like loss doesn't happen until it does happen. And when it does happen, a lot of us don't know how to deal with it.
Okay, so when you say that, is that why? Let me ask why. Why doesn't loss happen? Obviously, it happens, but why do you think it doesn't register for your generation?
I think at this time in our lives, we're just now becoming adults. So as a child, we don't really register those types of things. You know, we don't really deal with loss. That's more of an adult thing to deal with. So
that's the perspective.
Yes. Okay. So at 18, 19, 20 years old, if something tragic happens to you and you've lost something or you have to grieve for something, we've never done that before.
Most of you guys have never done that.
Correct. Most of us.
Do you think the fact that your generation is the social media generation, I'm just going to call it that, the iPhone, do you think that plays an effect? Do you think that contributes to you guys not really dealing with it or not really embracing the loss?
In a small sense, I think that that's our kind of getaway from it. We use social media and different platforms to kind of beat around the bush on it. We'll tweet about it or Instagram about it, but we won't get into the nitty-gritty of it. And that's what's unfortunate about our generation. Like I said, most of us have never had to deal with it. And social media is what we know nowadays. So that is our way of dealing with it on a baseline level.
Which to me is a concern, because I feel that it's like a trap. You know, because what we've learned on this show is you got to get it out. You got to not embrace it, but you got to navigate through it.
Of course.
You can't just sweep it away.
Right.
You know, and I don't have any stats in front of me. Taj was our statistician, but he is lost in thought. Yeah, he got fired. Yeah. So he's not giving any stats.
Make up a stat.
But I do feel like today's youth, they don't really... I don't want to badger you guys, but it's like the realness of things doesn't hit you like it should.
I agree.
For most of you.
I agree.
Now, why do you think that is?
I think it's because at this point, we don't know what real is. Like I said, we're pretty much 18, 19, 20. We're just now adults. And we don't know what real is. I mean, that's just like going off to college on your own. You don't know how to grocery shop for yourself. You don't know that you have to pay your own bills. It's all something that's new to us.
Yeah, I think, being, I don't want to say sheltered, but parents usually shelter their kids. And so when you do become an adult and you do leave home, it does become real really quickly, like taxes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You really have to find a way to make things happen and work out.
I feel like your generation, those who are, well, really, probably 12 to 20, I feel like, maybe older, but I feel like you guys, a lot of parents are guilty of being too helicoptery over you. They want to make sure, like, for instance, if your child gets an F or forgets their homework, I feel like the parents, we have a problem of going to try to help you guys overcome what you're dealing with, when it really needs to be you guys figuring out how to deal with whatever you're dealing with. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
But I don't feel you got that. Like, how were your parents handling loss? That was someone's phone, by the way. But like if you got a bad grade or you screwed up at school, I don't know if you ever did, mm-hmm. how would your parents handle that for you?
Well, definitely we'd talk about it, but it was up to me to fix it.
So they weren't going in there trying to convince the administration, you know, Evan didn't do this or he did this wrong. They were sending you to deal with it kind of thing.
That maybe happened one time in my entire academic career where my parents went and said, hey, you know, hey, maybe Evan could do this. No. We talked about it at home. I got in trouble for it. And I basically had to fix it. I was always told, you know, you need to go in there and apologize to the teacher. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go do that. You need to go in there and fix it because mm-hmm. this is a mistake that you made. And as you get older, you become an adult. I'm not going to be there to sweep up your mistakes. That's your job.
Yeah, I think that's great. I just think your generation, I don't want to attack your generation, but I think it sounds like it. But I'm sorry if I am. But it just seems like you guys, you need more of that.
I have a question for Ed.
Okay.
Cause, were you not that were you scared of your parents, but I know you respected, you know, your father and stuff like that. Did you, was it, because with mom, we had a little, there's a fear base.
Absolutely.
You know, like when she said, don't do that, and she gave that look, we knew she was serious and we knew what that meant if we did it. I think parents nowadays, they try and be the kid's best friend without being the supervisor and the adult, really. And I think, I'm not being a parent myself, but I think that's the problem is that they're trying to be a best friend as opposed to be a role model in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. Right now, being 19 years old, going on 20, I am pretty much, I like to think of me and my dad as best friends. Mm. Now.
Now.
But growing up, he would always tell me, I'm not one of your friends at school. He would always tell me that.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm your father. I don't want to be your friend.
Yeah.
And right now, he and I, we definitely have a different relationship.
But as you should. That's perfect. Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
You're at a different, you're 19, going to be 20.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's right on. Mm-hmm. I think that's right on.
No, I was going back to you not wanting to badger their generation.
Yeah.
This is an open question. How much do you think technology, social media, plays into that? Because
a lot.
Growing up, we didn't have, I mean, I'm going to call it a challenge because it can be a challenge not to be on the internet all the time. Social media, we didn't have to deal with that. And it worked out for us because instead of, you know, being on social media all day on Twitter, on Instagram, on the internet, whatever it may be, we were out playing ball, we were playing catch, we were playing music. You know, kids now, there's that temptation of always being on video games or always being on whatever.
On social media.
Social media, you know.
And even reality shows. It's
so,
like,
yeah, exactly. So then it's like, it's a, you mentioned earlier, it's like reality. We don't have a real good sense of reality. But at the same time, you go on social media and, you know, maybe that's where you guys think that's reality.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's a whole false sense of reality, too, mm-hmm. as well.
And, yeah. and the point that I think we're all trying to make is it's little bit concerning because whenever you guys do get, I shouldn't say you guys, you know, like I'm trying to teach you, but whenever a lot of our youngsters do get hit with a dose of loss,
mm-hmm.
their lack of sense of realness is going to make it harder for them.
Definitely.
You know?
Definitely.
You agree?
Definitely. I definitely agree with that.
It's sad, but it comes to balance, you know. Sorry to bring up my baseball team again. But and it's just not my team. I'm going to just say the whole league, and it's probably all kids at this level. I remember when I was playing baseball at 7, 8, I can catch the ball, and there were certain things that we can do. I see a lot of our childhood friends, you know, with their kids at the park, and I question. I was like, why is it at when we were playing at this level, we didn't have, you know, coaches coming out and pitching, we were really playing baseball. We could mm-hmm. play catch. We could throw it to the third base. They would catch it. They could throw it to first. They could throw it to anybody on the field. You know, of course, you had players that were better than others, but everybody on that field could catch the ball. Now, it's like you get maybe 5 or 6 that can really play, and the others, it's like they really need help.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just, where's that time being spent? Is it on the computer? Is it on social media? Is it on video games? Parenting, you know, are they really investing with their kids as far as spending time and, you know, taking them after school and playing catch?
Right. And I think that has to do with also the participation trophy. Have you heard of that? Terrell?
I've never heard of that.
It's basically the theory that just by showing up, you get a trophy.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I know. Because which football player mentioned that, right?
A lot of people. Some football players said something. But basically, yeah. It's the mindset of today's parents where it's just by showing up, you won.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and the problem is it sets you up so when you do actually lose.
Right.
By you know,
because the thing
you're
is
you're already used to winning for just showing up.
I forget which football player it was, but he was pretty upset because everybody got trophies at the end of the season.
Yeah,
it's like, here's the trophy for you, trophy for you, and he's like, no, we don't. We won the championship. We lost. We're not happy. You know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think if we had a female here, maybe we get a different perspective. But I just think I think for all our listeners, when you have kids or when you're an aunt or uncle, it's important to let them know they're going to deal with losses and they're going to deal with winning. But, you know, just to bring some realness mm-hmm. to their life, because eventually we all lose at something.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's not even our control. It's not even in our, you know, it's not because of us. It's just something that we get dealt with. And for our youngsters out there, I worry that this new society that is softening them up to the point where it's going to really hit them.
Because we spoke about it before, sports, baseball, because I'm coaching now, it's more than just on the field. It is about life. You know, you got to learn teamwork. You got to learn sacrifice. You know, you're not going to be the best in certain areas, but everybody can contribute in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you mentioned winning and losing. And a few shows back, you talked about, you know, after, I think it was the episode where we were talking about men, is it okay to cry? And after a World Series, you know, you'd have the losing team and the guys would be watching the other players and the other team celebrate and they'd have crying, you know, there'd be tears. But that's life. You know, there is winning, there is losing. So all of that you learn at a very young age. Supposed to, at least.
Absolutely. So we brought in a special call. Todd, you want to set up the person on the line?
Someone that we've known for a long time, and
I could say we wouldn't.
He's
be
an
here
expert
without
at
him.
What we're talking about, talking the subject right now, and I want to go straight to the source. Hey, relax, okay?
We haven't brought you in yet.
Yes,
are you there, caller?
I'm here.
You got a deep voice, caller.
I don't know how to guys. Treat you like soldiers or treat you like sons?
Hey, what's up, Papa T?
It's Papa T on the line.
What's happening, 3T?
What you doing?
Nothing, just sitting here eating peanuts.
You have rehearsal, Pops?
Yeah, but the band is learning the music, and I just thought I'd show up the last few hours and go over things.
Okay.
That's really cool.
Yeah, you're on a cruise soon, right?
Day. I'm leaving town Saturday, so I'll be on the Tom Joyner Fantastic Voice Cruise.
Cool, Pops.
Yes, I am.
That's cool. Uh-huh. Have a good time.
I am.
Todd,
well,
go ahead.
We've been talking these last couple of weeks about special dates and doing stuff on special dates to remember people. And
Right.
We were talking... and you mentioned that you have you're dropping something on April 1st, which is Mom's birthday. So
right.
So why don't you tell everyone what you're doing? And because I was very excited to hear that.
Yeah, well, I'm dropping a few things. I'm dropping my Tito Time CD, my first solo CD, long waited for.
Which is
I'm going to release it.
It's great, Pop.
I'm sorry.
Too. I've told you this before, but I absolutely love it.
Thank you, TJ. Thank you. So that's going to be released on April 4th. First.
First, yeah. Get the date right.
Yeah, April 1st. And also dropping a habit of smoking a cigar every now and then.
You're starting April 1st?
I've already pretty much started, but that's going to be my cutoff date.
That's great news, Pops. That's great news. I'm proud of you. So we have all our listeners who've heard that. So
yeah,
then they're not. You're telling me they're not going to see you or catch you smoking a cigarette?
Or cigar.
They're not supposed to, but there's always a but.
No, there
Pops,
is no
you gotta,
but.
You got to quit that.
As long as I got three sons, there's always the possibility to go back to smoking.
No.
No, don't say that, Pops.
Don't use that.
So you know, yeah, I mean, Pops, you started at a young age, right?
Yeah. Well, I started smoking many years ago, and I've quit a few times, and I picked it up and let it go, and picked it up and let it go, and picked it up and let it go. I'm going to let it go this time, and hopefully I don't have to pick it up again.
I remember we used to find your cigarettes, and we'd rip them up and put them back in the box.
I remember. Not only did y'all rip them up, you used to soak them with water too.
Yeah, mess them up.
I used to tell you I was allergic to it. I'm not a fan of that smell. I'm happy you're doing that though, Pop. That's a great surprise.
Thank you, because you guys were right. You know, that was man.
On that one, we got a pass, huh?
Yeah,
you got a pass. That's right. Try that today.
I want to say something because I'm really excited about your album dropping, Pops, this April 1st, and I want to tell the listeners and everyone else that's to spread the word. You know, once it drops.
Absolutely.
On April 1st, tweet about it. You know, put it on Facebook,
Instagram.
We need that support is always appreciated.
Well, you know, as we all know, I'm from old tradition. Ways of promoting music and that over the last, I would say, at least a decade or so, tradition has been changing. Mm-hmm. So all of these are new things that we're asking the fans to do. It's part of the new tradition. So if you can help me out a little bit, mention to your buddies that check out Tito's album, go to iTunes and possibly just check it out, download the songs you like or the whole album or whatever. Just get the word. It's all about spreading the word. So thank you very much if you do that for me.
Pops, yes. I want to ask you a question, because with Bryce and Adrian, I technology seems to be passing me by. You know, I'm trying as hard as I can to hang in there, but it moves so fast. With the music industry and just technology changing so much, I get a sense of my brothers too. Back in the day with the music, live musicians and everything, music to us was so much better, just the whole experience. The direction of music now, do you like where it's going with everything, with the internet and being able to access it so quickly? Or, you know, what's the trade-off with listening to vinyl records and being excited, going home and putting on that whole record? What do you think about that?
Well, that's a broad question. Well, let's talk about the internet first. The trade-off of people able to access music at a touch of a button is a good thing. The problem with it is when they share that music with other people and they don't pay for it. So, therefore, records get the popularity over their airways or over streaming or what have you. But as far as record sales, they're very, very low to the artists. And we spend a lot of time, a lot of dedication in writing this music and get a great deal of money just before it's even heard by anyone. And I think things are going to change before we have a train wreck with this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Something's going to have to change. But the internet is a good thing, you know, if it's used properly, I would think, and I would just wish we had put some type of laws into existence to protect artists' music better.
Do you miss the days of vinyl records and going to the record stores and all of that?
Yes, that was the magical days. It was fun. You can go in the record store and just spend hours in there, just looking and listening to music and picking out two or three CDs that you really loved. And just the whole time, even from the 45s, when there were 45s, you know, you pick up a 45 for 50 cents back in the day, and you got that particular record. And there's something about the sound of vinyl versus the digital sound. It's a lot warmer and a lot punchier. So I prefer analog in time over digital recording. So, yeah. But well, and today they use a little bit of both, as you know, guys know all this.
Mm-hmm. But we were just talking about that, how today's kids don't like they don't have a true sense of what's real, and I think that's because everything, you know, and in this case, the music industry is going from a tangible thing that's real to like
in the cloud, digital.
You know, where there's nothing they're grasping, there's nothing they're holding. Because Pops, you know, is talking about vinyls, and for me, that's CDs. You know, there was nothing like buying, going out to the store when a new CD was coming out, where you could read lyrics and look at new pictures and take out the CD and look at the artwork of the credits. CD. So, I mean, today. Yeah. Evan's looking completely lost, confused about what that process is like. I'm writing Evan, but today's kids, they don't even have that experience. And we pause you. I don't know if you heard earlier before we got you, but Evan is with us, and Evan's a college student, and he was just saying he feels like a lot of his peers, they don't have a true sense of what's real in this world, you know, and it's a concern.
Yeah,
exactly, and. I just wonder about that because I remember when I was a kid in school, then that's when the calculator came out, and we weren't allowed to use anything to help us. I mean, there was a time when one person can remember 50 to 100 phone numbers. You remembered your phone book in your brain.
Yeah.
Now, you can barely remember your own number.
So true.
Yeah. You know, so... I don't know if that's good or bad, you know, because what do that do to us, you know? But I like the old tradition better, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess that's why I'm not so savvy on the computer, you know? I use the computer basically to check my email and to create music, and pretty much I'm through with it.
Yeah.
So that's pretty, yeah.
Well, all right, Pops, we're going to let you get back to rehearsing, but thank you for joining us. We got to get you in here, though, Pops. Yeah, after your cruise, you got to come back in here.
I'll come back after the cruise and spend some time with you guys on the air, and we'll talk about a few subjects.
All right.
It's like bringing up 3T and that whole thing. We can go on.
Pops, we love you so much, and best of luck, and be safe out there.
Thanks,
Pops. I love you, boys, too.
Love you, Pops.
I'll see you guys soon.
All right, Pop.
Take care, guys.
Bye.
Bye, boy. Bye.
So that was fun. Thanks for setting that up, Taj. But Pops has an amazing album. I don't know if you guys heard it from
And April 1st is our mom's birthday. It was our mom's birthday, so it's not a joke. Some people, there's a tweet that's like, well, because it is April 1st.
April Fool's Day.
Yes, April Fool's Day. So some people might think, is it really coming out? So, but yes, it is coming out.
Because it's been, he was actually the last Jackson to release a solo record.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And this is his first solo record. And from as you guys know, we've been working and trying to help Pops get his record for over 10 years.
Forever.
And he finally released it. So we're proud of him. And it's a great record. I'm really proud of it.
Spread the word.
Spread the word. All right. So we're back, though, with Mr. Evan.
Okay.
I'm gonna hit you hard too, Evan.
Okay, I like how you're representing your school, Evan.
Always.
He doesn't have a choice, I don't think. Like,
I don't have a choice.
he's not allowed to wear Nike.
Really?
He's Adidas not only. A joke.
Oh. Adidas.
I was gonna see it.
Yeah, Adidas. But I think they pronounce it Adidas, right?
We heard that in Europe or something, right? Yeah.
But here it's Adidas. But anyway, Evan.
Yes.
You are 19 years old.
Yes.
What was the toughest thing you've had to overcome in your young life?
Toughest thing I had to overcome. It probably was a mixture of things. Mm-hmm. I mean, going off to college and truly, truly being on my own.
Okay.
It's tough. Very tough. My first year of college was very tough. But I think the toughest thing I had to overcome was a mix of my mom's illness versus my parents splitting at the same time. I think that's the toughest thing that I had to overcome because at that time, I was a freshman in high school, not understanding anything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was really, really sick at the time. Both her kidneys had shut down. So she had been on dialysis for 6-7 years straight, and that's every day. On top of that, my parents are splitting. So she's got to endure that. I have to watch her endure that. And at home, it was just me and my brother and my mom. And with my mom being sick most of the nights, it was, okay, who's going to make dinner? Mm-hmm. My brother's not very good in the kitchen. My brother's not a good driver, so I couldn't go anywhere. It was pretty much Evan doing a lot of the work. But you had to grow up quickly.
Yeah.
You definitely had to grow up quickly. And I think that helped me during my first year of college and growing up even more. But at those years, 14, 15, oh, my gosh, it was tough.
And I always say that I always feel somewhat guilty saying this, but when my parents divorced, that was like the hardest thing I've ever had to deal with. I mean, obviously, my mother's passing trumps it, mm-hmm. but it's close for me, you know? And mm-hmm. I remember just being completely lost and just not understanding things, and it's a tough thing. Definitely. You know, it's a tough thing. But I got to commend you, Evan, because, you know, from a distance, I would watch you, and you always seem to stay on course, you know, and a lot of kids don't. What was it that helped keep you on course? Was there any specific person? Was it any specific thing?
Partly you. Mm. Partly you. Just every time I see you, you're like, oh, Evan, what are you doing? And I just always remember I have to have an answer for him. I gotta stay on track for TJ.
I love that.
But just because my parents were splitting did not mean that they weren't in my life. And they didn't change for my brother and I. They changed for each other, of course, but they didn't change for my brother and I. And I think that's what helped. They definitely kept us on a narrow, straight path. They did not let us veer at all.
I love it. So anyone who's going through the separation, divorce out there, stay on that path for your kids.
Definitely.
Was there any type of tradition or any phone call or a book or a movie or anything that strikes a chord with you that any listener can make sure they implement with their kid? And you, if nothing off the top of head, if something comes up?
Yeah, not that I can think of right now.
If you don't mind me asking, was there something that you were doing at the time that helped you get through that time? Sports, or were you on a team? Were you in a club?
At that time, I was doing really well in track in high school.
Really?
And that was what helped me focus.
You put a lot of that into your track?
Definitely. Definitely. I think a lot of when you experience something like that, you've got to have a positive outlet for it. And track was my positive outlet for it. And that's what you have to do.
And I got to say, Evan, because I didn't know you ran track. I don't know what it was. I think you said, I don't know if you said, I'm going on some college visits. I said, for what? You know, I'm getting recruited for track. I said, Evan, you run track? You know, because you started, like you said, in freshman year.
Freshman year of high school, yes.
You know, so, and then I started doing some research on you and seeing you were dominating the county. Mm-hmm. And this isn't a small county. Wow. As like a junior, right?
Yes.
So in 2 years, you obviously were naturally fast and naturally athletic, but when you're competing in a county that's with millions of people, mm-hmm. you're doing your thing, you know? And I'm going to guess you put a lot, you're a smart kid, you're a respectful kid, you listen, you put a lot into that.
Definitely.
It didn't come easy.
No. No, none of that came easy. A lot of it came from just motivation.
Wanting to make your parents proud?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Wanting to make them proud. Sometimes you would go home and it would just be a dark day for them. And you'd want to come home and say, Mom, look, I'm in the newspaper for this. You know, hey, Dad, look, I'm in the newspaper. And that lights them up. I mean, to this day, my dad wants me to be a professional referee so he can get in games free.
You know, like, a big basketball fan.
Yes. So, like, that lights up their day. So if I can do something that makes me happy as well as make them happy, I'm definitely going to put all my effort in doing that.
What is it that you love about track and field? What is it?
Definitely the moment. There's always one moment in one race that you feel like, wow, like there's nothing like this. I mean, I can't stand practice. I can't stand getting treatment. I can't stand weightlifting, none of that. But when you're on that track and it's you and somebody else, I mean, track, in my opinion, is one of the purest forms of competition. And if you can beat somebody else, in my eyes, you're a better athlete than that person. So that moment is what is what helps me get past practice, what helps me get past that. I love track for that moment.
Because, I mean, I don't know too much about it, but I would think the challenge is, I mean, you could be the faster runner than everybody out there, but if you're not ready for that moment,
right,
you have to, you have to be ready for that day.
Correct.
Because you can be the fastest one out there, but if you're not on, you can lose.
Correct.
So you have to, it's a mental thing.
Definitely.
You have to bring it.
Correct. I mean, track is very physical, but mental is probably 70% of it, I would say.
You've obviously won a lot of big meets, mm-hmm. big races. Mm-hmm. This is a show about loss and overcoming loss. Mm-hmm. Have you lost a big race?
Definitely. Definitely. There. My junior year of high school, I tore my hamstring at Mount Sac Relays, one of the biggest relay meets in the world. Running down the back stretch of the 100 meters, about 50 meters in, I felt this rip go down the back of my leg.
Oh, man.
And stopped in the middle of the race and looked at the back of my leg, and it was purple. Mm. And I knew at that point I wasn't going to be able to run for the rest of the year.
This is junior year.
Junior year. I'm getting recruited by big schools, and a lot of the big schools stopped calling.
Yeah, they probably thought it was like...
It was a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So how did you overcome that?
Staying with it. Staying with it. I think a lot of people in my generation will leave it behind because of one loss or two losses. They'll leave it behind. Mm. And I think when you stay with it and you figure out ways to get around what you're dealing with, the hurt, the negativity, the whatever that you're dealing with, you'll find positivity on the other side. Mm. My senior year of high school, it happened again. Same leg, same area. Tore it again.
Did you have good support from your team?
Definitely. Definitely had good support from my team. Junior year, I was a big man on campus. Big man on the team. Everybody wanted to be as fast as I was. And when I tore my hamstring, that never went away. I still had that support. No, you're fine, Evan. You'll come back. I mean, you're fast. We're not worried about you. Senior year, it happened again.
Is that from coach or peers?
Both.
Wow.
Both. I never lost that.
Good.
I never lost that. And even senior year from college coaches. So I had a few college coaches that were like, no, we don't care that you're injured. We'll bring you in, fix you up, and we'll get you right back out there. And that made me feel good to keep going as well.
So we're here with Evan Singletary, and Evan has been, he's just a student at a UC school, but he's been awesome for the Dede Jacks Foundation, and he's been so supportive. He's come to our music therapy, helped us launch it, done everything we needed him to do to help keep it running as a volunteer, and it's really refreshing to see from a 19-year-old that's staying focused on doing good in this world. So we're proud of you, Evan.
Thank you.
We're proud of you.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. I got a question for Evan.
Of course.
Music therapy.
Mm-hmm.
You showed up.
Mm-hmm.
You showed up not only once, not only twice. You were there, like always there.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have to be. We thank you for that. Why? Because a lot of people say, you know, oh, I want to help the children. I want to do this and blah, blah, blah. But it's one thing to say and another thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You were there, and you were there many, many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
Talk. Let us know why.
That was something that I felt I had to do. Growing up, I wasn't underprivileged, but I had people like TJ in my corner that would come to practice all the time, regardless of what he was doing, come to practice all the time with a positive attitude. And growing up, I'm like, okay, I had a great role model. Why not give somebody else a great role model? And that was definitely something that I had to do. I mean, I don't know very much about music. I'm an athletic type person. But when TJ mentioned those classes to me, I said, oh, no, I'm there. Because these kids need a good role model. And they look at you guys, but they look at you guys as more of adults. I'm more closer to their age and can relate to them, especially the teens class.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm in there and I'm saying, hey, you know, hey, let's get it going. Hey, I'll help you write this. Hey, I'll help you do this. They're more open to doing that with me.
Mm-hmm.
So why not come?
What was your takeaway from that class, Evan? Like, what was your, do you have a specific memory with any of the kids that was a cool little thing?
Just certain specific memories. I mean, there are a few. just in intermission type moments where we're sitting there eating sandwiches and we're talking about what happened at school, and I can relate to that because how we happened to me at school. Moments like that, or even just moments of writing their music, and mm-hmm. when you see that they've written something that you know touched them at some point, or is touching them right now, they're dealing with something that's negative or even positive, and you're like, wow, like, they're putting it into their music when I put it into sports. So
another cool thing about Evan, if he doesn't become a ref as of now, I'm always asking Evan what is his plans for life,
and it changes a lot
but it's pretty standard. I mean, you've always wanted to do refing, and one that's been long too is, so you're gonna like this, Evan wants to be, can I say it,
of course,
Evan wants to be a principal.
Yes,
really,
to a school. Mm-hmm. So that's another nice career option for him. Not a teacher, though.
No, well, start off as a teacher, but eventually.
You like those power positions.
I do. I do.
Which is so crazy, because you don't seem like that kind of power trip guy. You're such a giver. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which is a cool thing, though.
I think what it is that when you're up at that top, you can make a lot of change.
Yes.
And I think that's mm-hmm. what it is. It's not about power. It's more about influence
and getting it right.
And if you're a giver, you feel like that's the place where you should be to have the most influence.
Yes,
is that accurate?
Yeah, 100%.
Of course it is.
Spot on.
Spot on.
No, that's cool. I appreciate that. So as you go, you're a sophomore.
Yes.
In the States, junior year is kind of when you start narrowing down what you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes.
So in the next couple of years, we'll be keeping an eye to see which way you're going.
Of course.
But you're young, Evan, and don't be afraid to change it again. You know, if you need to, or you know, you're still developing, you're still learning. One other thing I want to talk to you about, you said a big change for you, or something you had to overcome, was moving out.
Mm-hmm.
To going to college.
Mm-hmm.
What? Because you didn't go far.
No.
You could have went far. You could have went out of state, but you stayed in state.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you moved out of the house.
Yes.
And then you moved, what, maybe 50, 60 miles away?
Yes.
Why was that hard?
That was hard because most students, when they move out, they have a place to come back to. When I moved out of my house after high school graduation, I'm the last kid. My parents got rid of their house.
Mm.
So I didn't have a place to come back to. My mom went and lived with her mom. My dad went and lived with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have a place to go back to. So knowing that I'm there 12 months out of the year, 365 days, was shocking to me. You know, I can't go home on the weekend and get a free meal or free lunch or anything like that. So that was big. And then a lot of it is, I have to get a job now. I have to find a way to support myself. Yes, definitely the realness set in. My car breaks down, Evan has to fix it. You know?
Or you can run.
But the realness definitely set in. I'm grocery shopping for myself, you know, things like that.
How is grocery shopping?
It's still difficult. I still have not gotten it down to a T.
What's so hard about it?
Buying what I actually need versus what I actually want. You know, donuts. Yeah. Donuts and things like that are much more cheaper than fruits and...
Yeah.
They don't make it
easy.
They
say to stay on the outside lanes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because that's where all the good stuff is, the healthy stuff.
Yeah.
The inside lanes are no good.
Exactly.
Stay on the outside.
That makes
sense. Think
about it. No, exactly. Now that I think about it, all the cereals in the inside lanes.
Yes.
But also, I've heard of staying away from the colorful packaging. You know, the colorful stuff. I never heard the inside lanes.
Yeah, stay on the outside lanes. You'll be all right. Not that I do that, but.
That's cool. Todd, do we have anything? Are you looking up?
Yeah. No.
No? Okay, you were looking up.
Yeah.
All right. Terrell, you got anything?
No, I'm very proud of you, Evan.
Thanks,
and
Terrell.
I asked you this at the Boys and Girls Club, because you did wanted to be a referee growing up, and you still do.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked you if you were ever refereeing, and you said you were.
Mm-hmm.
So how was it the first game when you were refereeing? Were you nervous? And then I asked him if he's ever teed up somebody.
First game, nervous. I'm not there as a ref physically in the first game. You're literally watching the ball. And for a lot of people that don't know what refs do, we have different points of the court where we watch. I was ball watching. I didn't even have a whistle in my mouth. I'm just standing there with a black and white shirt on, just watching the game, like, ooh, that was a good move. Ooh, that's a good move, you know? And then my mentor comes over to me, and he's like, all right, are you going to blow your whistle or no? And I said, oh, I forgot that's what I was here for. And now I go to a basketball game, and I watch it like a ref.
Wow.
Now you're watching like a ref.
Now I don't watch the players, or I watch it like a ref.
Was it what you thought it would be, reffing?
Definitely.
Really?
Definitely. Cool. It's hard, but it's rewarding. And my favorite moments are when I have to tee someone up.
Favorite moments?
Those are my favorite moments.
And teeing someone up is giving them a technical foul.
Yes.
Getting that power back.
When they mess up and he's got to get on to them for it. Evan, you're awesome, man.
Thank you.
Any final words you want to say to us adults about your generation? You want to clear anything up, or anything you want to say to your generation, or anything at all?
No, I mean, you guys are pretty spot on. Our generation is pretty much all into social media. But I think what a lot of people my age should consider is definitely sticking with what you want to do. A lot of people will drop it just because it didn't work the first time or the second time. And there are so many success stories in this world where people have stuck with it more than 3 or 4 times, and it's worked out for them.
You got to be resilient.
Definitely.
And I think one thing to piggyback off that, I think your generation, I feel for you guys because it's tough, because you guys have these TV screens on your hand, basically, that show success nonstop from everyone else, because naturally people post things that they're doing successfully, or you share things that are good,
right?
You know, you share the fancy cars, the fancy homes, the awards, the trophies,
right?
So you're under this constant pressure to perform well,
right? And everything's easy access too,
and everything's but what my point is, it's like the struggle's not really showcased so much.
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm happy you said exactly that as your final point, that there's a struggle in everything.
Yeah.
And you got to get past that. Accept that, know that there is a struggle. Mm-hmm. It may not be on social media, but it is.
Right. Yeah. The grind is the most important part of it. Success is fun, and putting yourself out there as being successful is fun, but I think the grind is the most important part of it.
And it's funny because when you are successful, it's the grind that you remember and you look back at and you smile at.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's the best part about it.
Yep.
Yep. All right. Well, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Todd, you got anything? No?
I think we're out of time.
Okay. Well,
we could start. Could
stuff it up. Well, if you found our program helpful and can afford to do so, please go to ddjf.org and support the foundation. You can also text 41444. Text that number, but you text DDJF. So text the word DDJF to 41444. 414444. Right, Terrell? 41444. I don't know. Shoot, I'm messing it up. It's 41 and then 3 4s. We will tweet it, but it's 41444. Text that number, DDJF, and you can help us out. We are back here next Wednesday, 1 to 2 p.m. Todd, stop laughing. Terrell, anything?
I'm good.
You're good?
See you guys next week.
Papa T, we love you. Thanks for calling in.
Yes.
Enjoy your rehearsal.
Thank you, Evan.
Thanks for being here. Yes.
Thanks for having me.
All right, you guys. That is it.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.